Okay, good morning. We're gonna do a quick recap of what we started off this topic with last week, and then we're gonna really get into the topic. This morning we're gonna be talking about the materials for Kiddush. Specifically, we're gonna talk about saying Kiddush on non-wine. We're gonna talk about saying Kiddush on whiskey, which is a very prevalent custom, especially on Shabbos morning. We're gonna talk about whether we should or should not, and if we should, what are the parameters, what are the rules that we should consider. So we're going to talk about that, and then also we're going to talk at the end, although it's going to come up as we go, but we're going to talk about how we define Chamar Medina, the drink of the state, so that we could know what other drinks we might include into that category. So that's going to be the end, and then hopefully after that we'll just do a quick run through of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas to do a recap and to go over some of the bottom line halachas regarding this topic. So we point
same thing as Havdalah, or
So the I think the definition of Chamar Medina is going to be the same thing for Avdala or not, but the question whether you could use it is not going to be the same, because already from just a quick recap, the Rambam says that you could use Chamar Medina for Havdalah but not for Kiddush. So there's that to take into consideration, but I think a lot of the chuvos and stuff, they kind of, when they're talking about Chamar Medina, they kind of say for Kiddush and Havdalah, they do seem to group them together. So the Rambam, like we just pointed out, says that you cannot use another beverage for Kiddush, nighttime. He doesn't distinguish. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that because the Rambam doesn't tell us a distinction between nighttime and daytime, we can assume that he's talking about both of them. That both of them, you cannot use another beverage other than wine. But the Rambam, and maybe this will be something we'll talk about next week, I'll have to see how things develop. But the Rambam says that if you like bread more so than wine, that bread is just as good to use as wine. So the Rambam says for Kiddush, you could use bread, make Kiddush on bread, make Kiddush on wine. Almost seems to be that they're interchangeable. So maybe we'll talk about that next week.
I want to put my question too is, what about those people that use wine but it's not grape? We have now, there must be at least 8 different kinds of wine which are not grape.
Yeah, but that's not.
So how do you call? Who calls it wine? Who called it? Why is it? Right. I don't know if it's. I don't think that's. Hold off on that because we're gonna. That's gonna probably fit into. I don't think that's wine. That's not wine. It doesn't come from grapes.
It's
but
with wine and vine.
Okay, but it might. We're gonna have to see if it fits into another category that we could possibly use it for the Rambam for sure not, because the Rambam says that you only use wine. Then I don't think we're gonna go through the tour inside. If anybody wants to get some more of the background, the tour quotes the opinions in this matter, and he says that he fundamentally disagrees with the Rambam. He says that you absolutely cannot use bread. Right, the Rambam said you cannot use a beverage, but you can use wine. You can use bread. And Rabbi Natan says, I don't think he comments necessarily on the other beverages, but just it would seem that it's okay for him. But he says you definitely can't use bread,
even if you don't have wine.
Even if you don't have wine, you can't use bread. You can't use bread. So we pointed out last time, and this is where we're going to come to today. Is well, if what happens if you don't have wine, you have a real problem, because no matter what you do, you're going to satisfy one person's opinion and go against the other person, because if you use bread, you'll satisfy the Rambam, but Rabbeinu Tam said not to do it. And if you use, if you use another beverage, the Rambam says not to use that other beverage, so you won't satisfy the Rambam, but you'll have satisfied Rabbeinu Tam. So then at the end, the Torah quoted the Rush, quoted his father of the Rush, that gives us a compromise of sorts. And we're going to get to the Shulchan Aruch, that's going to be the first source that we're going to see inside. But he quotes the Rush, who gives us a compromise, where the Rush says, at nighttime, use bread, and during the daytime, use one of those other beverages that we're going to talk about what they are and how to define them later on. So nighttime, use bread. If you don't have wine, nighttime, use bread. Daytime, use another beverage. Why is that? So this is also something that we had alluded to. But he points out that if you use bread at nighttime, it's very clear that you're saying Kiddush. Because what you would do is, you would presumably say Vayichulu. Vayichulu, as again, I think we said this last time also, that this shir is a good chazar, a good review shir, because we're going to come across a lot of the ideas that we've had up till now, that Vayichulu is not a part of Kiddush. Vayichulu is a testimony of God creating the world that we fulfilled already in shul. And we do it again at home because all the people in our home that didn't fulfill that. That's the Tosfos points that out. And the Kiddush starts with Borei Pri Hagafen, and then Asher Kiddush Anu B'Mitzvotav. That's Kiddush, although if somebody says, I don't want to say Vayichulu, we would tell them, well, we've been doing it for, I don't know, at least 900 years. You can't just decide you don't want to say Vayichulu, but that's not the main part of Kiddush. So at nighttime, what would you do? You would say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and then you would say your Kiddush, and it was very clear that your Hamotzi, which is a normal thing that you do at the beginning of every meal, it's very clear that you were doing that for Kiddush because you said right after your Hamotzi, Asher Kiddush Anu Mimisotav Ratzavanu. But during the daytime, the main part of Kiddush during the daytime is Berei Pri Hagafen. That is what daytime Kiddush is. The other psukim are later additions to it. The Gemara calls it Kiddusha Rabba, as in giving it a nice name, because really it's only one line, Berei Pri Hagafen. So during the daytime, if you were to say Kiddush on bread, you would say Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. It would look no different than any other meal that you ever have during the week. It's not clear on the surface that is a Kiddush. So what we do is we tell you during the daytime, use another beverage, say shehakol niyeh bidvaro. That's not something that's typically done in advance of your meal, let's say. So from the fact that you're saying a shehakol before you're saying your hamotzi, it's clear that you're doing something extra. So it must be that extra thing that you're doing is your kiddush. Okay, so that's why the Rush tells us this compromise. At nighttime, use bread. During the daytime, use a shahakol, another kind of drink. So now we're gonna go through the Shulchan Aruch.
For
each kiddush, you're yosei one of them. Right. That's his. For each kiddush, you're yosei one of them. Right. So that's his. Well, the Aruch HaShulchan says that you really can't satisfy everything here. At the end of the day, though, from the way that the Torah quotes it, according to the Rush, you could use either for either. Meaning, you could use another beverage. Let's just use beer for our example of another beverage. You could use beer for nighttime and daytime. You could use bread for nighttime and daytime. But he's telling you it's better to use bread for nighttime and beer for daytime. But you could, from this language, you could use both. So now let's see the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch is going to tell us a very, very important caveat into this whole rule of what can we use for Kiddush. Very, very important caveat. We're going to see that Rav Ovadia Yosef, he reads a lot into this line. The Shulchan Aruch says, first four words, B'makom she'ein yayin matzoi. What happens in a place where there is no wine available? I.e., he's introducing us to this whole topic by telling us this whole thing applies only when wine is unavailable. Okay, that's a very important caveat that we're gonna then ultimately have to deal with.
It's not so much with preference then.
No, it's if when wine is not available, what should you do? And he says, Yeshom Shem Shem Kachin al Sheikh of Shamarshkin. One of the opinions is you should use beer. Everything except for water. We'll get back to that. Yeshom Shein Mekachin, and there's another opinion like the Rambam that you cannot use beer. Right, so he quotes both opinions. He says one opinion says if you don't have any wine available, use beer or not beer. Ula harash, and according to the Rush, b'layla lo yikadesh al shechar lapas. At nighttime, use bread. Uva boker yoter tov lekadesh al shechar. In the morning, use beer. Shevarech alav shahakol called him birchas hamotzi. Like we pointed out, you want to say your shahakol before your hamotzi. Sheim yivarech alapas chila ein kan shum shinoi. There's no difference if you just made your from Shabbos to the rest of the week. If you just say the hamotzi on your bread, if you just say your kiddush on your bread, because that's what you always say a brach on bread, so you should use the shahakol. He says, I think that this makes a lot of sense. He says, I agree with the Rush. So,
how do you define unavailable?
Okay, so unavailable is, the Torah quotes unavailable as either being in your city or even within a one-day distance of your city. Yeah, that's so the... unavailable in your city, yeah.
It's more complicated that you don't have any.
Right, right. But you can imagine a case. You can imagine a case where you went away for Shabbos. You went away, and obviously there's no wine where you went away, or there's no kosher wine, or we're gonna. This is an example that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes to try to justify the practice of everybody using whiskey in his time. He says they were bringing it in, and they had no idea. They didn't know if it was kosher or not. They didn't trust. They didn't trust whoever was bringing it in. They didn't know. I guess there was before the OU existed, or whoever else. The Rabbanu, right before all them, somebody brings in wine and they tell you it's kosher. How are you going to know if it's kosher? Are you going to, you know, try to look at the person, see if he's trustworthy, maybe try to speak to... I don't know. How do you know? So that's his point. His point is that, there were definitely times and places where it was... You could have been in a location where it was very difficult to get wine. We're also going to see, and this is also a tip-off to something that's going to come up later, it could be that if wine is very expensive, we would consider that to be as if it's not there. So if you're in a place where wine is... I don't know how you define too expensive, but if wine is very expensive, then maybe we would say that's ke'ilu, the wine isn't there now. What else can you use for kiddush? So those are generally I think one of the problems with using whiskey that we're gonna talk about in a few minutes is that I don't know nowadays you can get a bottle of wine for $10 or something like that, right? It's barely. I was even thinking before that often that probably the average wine that everybody's drinking costs way less than the average whiskey that everybody's drinking, right? So wine certainly is cheaper nowadays than other drinks. So but we're going to come to that soon, and then we'll just do the first line in the Rama. The Rama source word says v'chein emingat pasha k'divei rush. He also, the Rama also for Ashkenazim, saying that the minang is like the rush, i.e. when you don't have wine, then at nighttime use bread and daytime use beer or other beverages.
Or grape juice, you can use
that. There was an interest in having a separate shiur on grape juice, but right now for us we're including grape juice in wine. That's just, we can think about that as the same thing. That's what we're gonna think about that right now.
It's grape juice.
So think about it as the same. Okay, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Ayin Bet. Siman Reish Ayin Bet is the halachas of the nighttime. Now what about the daytime, which is in Siman Reish Peitet in source 5. B'mankolim she'ein yayin matzui. Again, he says the same thing. When you don't, if you're in a place where the wine, there is no wine, there's no wine to be found. So then you could use beer and other things that are the beverages of your state. Again, I keep saying we will define that better. The beverages of your state. And if you don't have during the daytime, right? Because we said you're not really supposed to use bread. The only drink you have is water. He says eat below kiddush, which all the commentaries to this say what he really means by this is you should use bread. What he really means is you should use bread, meaning don't eat anything before your bread. That's what it says. When he says ochel below kiddush, it means don't start having snacks, etc. Then at that point in time, use bread.
In the previous one, he also said ein mikash, not you say kiddush on bread. So like when clearly there, he means make kiddush on bread. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right. Although there it's clear that he's talking about the realm of his opinion. So.
Right, but isn't the realm of opinion that either you
use bread? The realm of opinion is use bread. Here, right. Okay. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's very quick recap. It seems to be clear from the Shulchan Aruch in two different places that wine is what you use for kiddush. And only when you do not have wine, then you can start talking about other things to use. And at nighttime, it would be bread. And at daytime, it would be beer and other drinks that are drinks of the state that we're gonna define. Okay, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Mishnah Berurah, I think his opinion is hard to understand. It's a little bit difficult to understand. We're gonna go through some of the Mishnah Berurahs. Because he, on the one hand, talks about using wine, and on the other hand, introduces us to the common practice of people of using whiskey during the daytime kiddush. So the Mishnah Berurah, the first Mishnah Berurah we're going to do is in Siman Reish Pei Tet in Source 6. He says, "Mashma again b'makom she'en yain matzoi." The Shulchan Aruch says, "In a place where wine's not down." What does this mean? "Divemakom shehu matzoi ein lekadesh al sheichar." If you have wine, do not use beer. V'shar mashkin. And then he says, in look above, where I'm going to talk about this more. Masha katavnu sham dinoing in the hakel baza b'shachris b'medino seinu. U'mikol makom again mitzvah min hamuvchar al hayayin. The best thing for kiddush is wine. Ula inyan yain saruf, and for whiskey again he says to look earlier. So now we're gonna look earlier because again keep this in mind that he says mitzvah min hamuvchar. The best thing is to use wine. So in source 7 in the other Mishnah Berurahs, where now he's going to talk about a little bit about the practice of people using whiskey and other non-wine items. So we're going to do Chof Tet and Lamed. So Chof Tet, the Mishnah Berurah says in source 7, Chof Tet, in Siman Reish Ayin Bet, let's see, Patan Chof Tet, he says, when the Shulchan Aruch says, Tov Likadesh al Shechar, in the morning it's better to use beer. So he says, Hainu debazehu yoter tov me'al hapad, kemosh mefarish hatam. So he says, in the morning it's better to use beer than bread, like we've been pointing out. Aval, yayin bimalkom shehu matzoi, if you're in a place that wine is to be found, vada yivarech alav. Very clear, use wine. Afilu bayom, even during the daytime. And now, umikol makom. So now we're going to come to what was actually going on. B'medino seinu, one, shehayayin biyoker. The first thing that he points out that's important is wine was very expensive and hard to get. And two, v'rov shtiyas hamedino hu mishar mashkin. And most of the people drink other things. Lo nahagu afilu hagidolim lahadir achar yain bayom, that the gidolim who had lived in the around the times of him and in the previous generation did not look so far so hard. They didn't really seek out wine. Shehu rak mi derabbanan, right? This is again from our first year. Kiddush during the daytime is a mitzvah derabbanan. So this was a mitzvah derabbanan, and the wine was so expensive, and everybody was drinking other things, so they didn't seek it out. Yeah. The somchin antsman al divrei hamakilin baza, and they were rely on the people that were more lenient on this, i.e., to use non-wine, to use beer, etc. Umi shemivarech gam bayom al hayayin, again, vada eus ha-mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says, right, he gives us a reason that people were not using wine, because it was very expensive, and because people in his day, they just weren't really drinking wine. Everybody was drinking other beverages. But he says that if you can get wine, do so. And now the confusing part, at least the part that I find confusing, comes from the next Mishnah Berurah. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have no wine, you can use beer. So al ha-sheichar. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Lamed, the im chaviv lo yayin sorof, and if whiskey is a person likes it better, yachol lekadesh alav vayom lechadchila. You could use it during the daytime lechadchila. So the word lechadchila, ideally, here, I think throws me off because he told us five times so far that the best thing is to use wine. Keep saying that's the best thing is to use wine. He pointed out from the Lashon from the Shulchan Aruch that this is, whole thing is only when you don't have wine. So I think what he means by this, though I'm not 100%. I think what he means by this is that if you don't have wine in your location, we said to use beer, and he's telling us that in his times, I don't know if it would have been vodka or something along those lines, but that other drink had the exact same status as beer, i.e., that there's no that we don't say if you don't have wine, use beer, and if you don't have beer, then use vodka or scotch or whiskey or something else. We don't say that. We say that the vodka and the beer and all that are on the same level. So at that point in time, choose whichever one you like better. That's how I would suggest to read this.
Still, let me submit them before the same thing.
I would guess, yes. I don't. So it could be that this is lechatchila, but there's something else. Mitzvah min hamuchar, better lechatchila. So there's a best lechatchila and a good lechatchila. Okay, it could be, right? Yeah, that's a good shot. Also,
it's too.
A good shot. Yeah.
I want to say that in the early days, my grandparents, my great grandparents. In the Europe places and in also Russia, the thing is, the people were poor. So what happened was, all the wines and everything were extremely expensive.
Okay.
And were not usually offered to Jewish people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's another. So what happened was that the people made their own wine.
Uh-huh, okay.
This is why the Jewish people, there's so many wonderful kosher wines, is because they came from Europe and from Russia. And the thing is, they made all this wine. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, and then the thing was, so they used the wine. So the wine was very, very good because the only thing was, it was more potent than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're confirming that they're confirming wine. that it was very expensive. Okay, so good. So we confirmed. Yeah, the wine was very expensive. So that's why we have to figure out what else to do. So this lechatchila here again, ideally seems to throw a monkey wrench into things. But like I said, I think that he means that shehu chamer medina, that because this other drink is also considered to be a drink of the state, if you don't have wine, you could also use this.
Was that lechatchila b'medina tainan? Like,
yeah.
So maybe he's like.
Well, he's in Medina. Like, Medina. In our state, where it is the national drink, the drink of the people. So then you could use it. Now, right? So Mishnah Berurah, right? We saw that you're not. We still have to see if really you could ideally use it or not if you have wine around. But let's assume for now there's no wine, so you're gonna use whiskey. The Mishnah Berurah tells us something very important that we're also gonna have to talk about. That's a very, very big deal. Ach sheyizaher likach kos machzik revius. You need to take a cup that holds a revius, which was the shear, the volume that we talked about for Kiddush that we had. Daytime Kiddush, we pointed out that it's probably we could be a little bit more makil, we could be a little bit more lenient because it's a darabanan, so let's assume 3.3 ounces. So you need to take a cup that has 3.3 ounces and fill that up with your scotch or bourbon or whatever, or vodka, whatever else you're drinking. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And how much do you have to drink, right? How much did you have to drink? And that you have to drink most of it. Rove. The lish do mimeno male lugmav. Another, this is something else we have. We have to drink a cheekful, which we say is half of that. So if it's 3.3 ounces, you need to drink 1.65 ounces. Okay, so that now we're... Sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
so then, right, and now, what happens if you can't do that? Did I skip a line? Sorry, no. Like we also talked about. If... at the end of the day, one person doesn't drink that 1.65 ounces, but you have it shared amongst people, that works also. So either, if you're going to use whiskey, either make sure, according to the Mishnah, fill up your 3.3 ounce cup. Don't, obviously, the shot glasses that we see, which hold, I think, 1 ounce, would not be good. And from your 3.3, you should personally drink 1.65, or make sure that you, with the combination of somebody else, or other people, more than one person, drink that 1.65 ounce. So says the Mishnah Berurah. So this is something that we're going to ultimately come back to, because as many of us have seen, most people do not do this, and we're going to have to try to defend that practice, and hopefully come to a conclusion about what we should do. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah tells us. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, again, that he says, l'chadchili, you could use the whiskey, though he gives the impression wine is better. We're not going to do this inside, but also if anybody wants to do it inside later, I'm happy to go over it inside at another time if anybody's interested. But the Aruch HaShulchan, first, he says that wine is the best thing, and he quotes that already going back for 500 years, where he quotes Rav Shachna and the Maharshal. Rav Shachna started a very, very, maybe the most prominent yeshiva in Poland in the 1500s, and the Maharshal was, I believe, the successor, the Rosh Yeshiva, to succeed him. He says already they were using whiskey, even though they had wine. And he quotes, he says, and everybody's trying to figure out on what basis did they do that, because he says, really, you should, if you have wine, use the wine. How could these prominent Rosh Yeshiva have used whiskey and other beverages? So what he ultimately develops in this Ifya Dalin, first he quotes all the other reasons that the people give it. Some of them we talked about, maybe it was so expensive, it's a Hilchos Baruchos issue that has since been resolved for us, but this was before the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, so for them they had a doubt about what to do. He quotes a few other reasons. But then he says, in Yodalim, maybe we'll do parts of it. Amnam kol tamim ein mekabel malalev. He says, I don't think any of these are really, they're okay, they're reasons. He doesn't think that any of them are necessarily correct. Desof so vada yayin tov min shari mashkim, because wine is the best thing to use. V'lam alazo kiddush ala yayin gambayom. Why would you not use wine if it was available? Kivan shaylam yayin beveitam uba'ir. So he says, ulanias daiti. He says, I'll tell you what the reason is. So he says that... basically, like we talked about, is that people didn't have any... The wine was so expensive that you couldn't get it. He says, we don't know if it was kosher or not. The closest they could have for wine was, he says, they would take these tzimukim, I assume he means grapes, and try to make those into wine, which...
Tzimukim, I think, are like the leftovers.
Oh, the leftovers? And he says, again, maybe this will be something for next week if it seems a bit technical. He says he's not even sure if that qualifies as the best thing they had, and wasn't even sure if it qualifies as grape juice or wine or not, based on the halachas of how you're supposed to make the grape juice or wine.
Like raisins?
Yeah, that's what nowadays the raisins, but it could be either raisins or something else that was left over.
You can use raisin wine.
So, well, I don't know if you could use raisin wine. He's saying that he's not sure that that has the status. Nobody, the Gedolim, the rabbis in his time didn't want to use that. He says his line is bedochak levarich alav berip yagafen. He's not clear if you can even make a berip yagafen on that. I.e., that would be considered to be wine. So then he says. He said they have no choice. He basically says, "Ach be'ain breira be'achrech like shirlanu." If you, he said, it only if you have no choice, you can use these simukim. So then at the end he says, he quotes somebody who says you can use for havdalah, you could use milk or tea. So he says, well, what basis would there be for you to use milk or tea? So he says, because there was absolutely nothing else to drink. Then you could use it. So he basically says, similar to use for Havdalah, if you have nothing else for you to use, you could use these things because you want to say Havdalah, you should say Havdalah on something. So he says, so too for Kiddush. If you have absolutely nothing else to use, the only reason to not use wine, to use these other things, is when you absolutely had nothing else to use. And then you could use whiskey. But short of that, use wine. So this certainly doesn't help us, Bizman Hazeh, because who's gonna, unless you're in a far off place, right? You can just go to the mall. You buy wine. We thank God we don't live in the times where wine wasn't available. So he doesn't help us. I think the impression that I get from the Aruch HaShulchan is that Bizman Hazeh, he would say don't use whiskey because wine is available. So now we'll just try for a few minutes now to defend. We have to defend the practice of many people to use whiskey, to use 1 ounce of whiskey. So there's two things we have to defend. Defend one is to use whiskey when there's wine that's around, right? You go to the kiddush, you go to the table, and there's wine right next to it, and somebody should do a sociological study and see how many people take the whiskey and see how many people take the wine, and they're right next to each other. So we have to defend the practice of using whiskey when the wine is available, and we have to defend the practice of using 1 ounce, especially in light of the fact that the Mishnah Berurah says you should be using 3.3 ounces of it. Okay.
Defending the practice doesn't sound like it's so...
Okay, but sometimes when practices are so... In some communities, I think it's more widespread than others. There's stories of Chassidus Rebbeim that 100 plus years ago, they specifically used one... There's a story that I forget one of the Rebbeim from over 100 years ago used one... Everybody, all the Chassidim saw him use 1 ounce of whiskey and say... I think he just said shahakal and he drank it, because right during the daytime that would all the kiddush would just... Yes. The minimum would be just to say shahakal and drink it. Yes. And so from there, some people quote that, see, look, the Rebbe did it, so you're allowed to do it. And I think it's Rav Avadia who says that he spoke to an older person who was there at the time, and he said the Rebbe already had made kiddush. He already made kiddush earlier, now he just wanted some schnapps, so he wanted to say it later. Nobody knew. People didn't... Other people didn't know. Some people... It's unclear. It's unclear. It's unclear what happened, but there is a story with one of the prominent Chassidus Rebbeim doing this. So there certainly are communities that it's done. So we'll try to defend it.
It's like having somebody wearing a kippah in a non-kosher restaurant because he's working there or something. You're misleading people, thinking that.
You think the Rebbe misled them?
I thought if he'd already had kiddush before, yes, because they'll follow his example.
So he can never drink schnapps.
I don't know. So he can never. Morning. Then he can never have. He was having a lechaim with his Chassidim. I don't know. He probably assumed that everybody had kiddush
earlier. You're a rabbi and you're leading others.
Maybe he assumed people knew that he's had kiddush before and that you don't make kiddush on.
Yeah, right. Or maybe everybody was there for the kiddush and then the word spread and he didn't realize that the word was going to spread. I don't know. I agree that you have to be careful. You have to be careful with your actions. I'm not sure that I agree that here he wasn't careful. I don't know. That I don't know. So the Shevet HaLevi, Rosh Shmuel Vosner, who's one of the current leading gedolim in Bnei Brak, who publishes, he's the Rosh Yeshiva, he's the Av Beis Din. He's really one of the leading sages in our times. He's from Europe, from pre-war. He was born in 1913. 1913. Yeah, 1913. So he learned. He was learned in the yeshiva, the prominent yeshivas, and learned in the prominent yeshivas in Europe.
He's still a big posse?
Yeah, yeah, as far as I know.
1913?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, he has a son who helps him out.
How old is
his
son?
85.
Yeah.
So,
like being in England, you know?
I don't know. I learned specifically in NYU. I learned Yordaya was somebody that was also elderly. I don't know how old he was. My guess was he was about 100. And
was that Rav Yankelevich?
No. But it was Rav Weiss.
Yankelevich was teaching there.
So it was over 100. So he was over. Yeah. So see. So
he's Rav Meir, and he died a year ago. Here he was 105.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his wife lived to about 103.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah, he met the Chavis Chaim. He learned there for a little bit, I think. So I was gonna say so the Rav Weiss, he was probably about 100, and he was with it. He was very especially with learning, he perked up and he knew everything. So the Shevet HaLevi, if I'm not mistaken, the context of the question was somebody asked him a question about how, basically the question was, how come everybody uses schnapps nowadays to make Kiddush? Everybody uses whiskey Shabbos morning. So his answer is, I have one step out the door and he was going away. He says, but I want to answer you, so I'm just going to answer you off the top of my head. So then he gives him this answer, and he tells him that maybe nowadays things changed a little bit. Meaning that there was a time where people drank wine at every meal. That was the drink. I was just talking to somebody, and this came up, and he pointed out that probably the water, et cetera, historically, you didn't want to, the waters were very dirty and gross, et cetera, but somehow the alcoholic process would kill most of the germs in what they were drinking, so the wine would be low 4 or 5% alcoholic content, but it was much healthier to be drinking that than any other drink. That was the two options were dirty water or wine that was much healthier for you. So Rav Osner points out that nowadays, right, nobody, how often do you drink, nobody drinks wine at every meal, nobody drinks wine at most meals, so it would appear, right, you drink wine on Shabbos, you drink wine occasionally. So he says that maybe because of that, we could include other drinks that people really are drinking and consider them to have the status of the way that wine used to be. I.e., if there's a certain drink, like orange juice that every people that we could figure out, we could assume that people are drinking at most meals.
There's sociological studies, I'm assuming, but like what everybody.
You'd have to, yeah.
Community.
You'd have to, yeah. You'd have to, yeah. You'd absolutely would have to figure it out. It could be soda. Soda, we're gonna come to at towards the end about. So it could be Coca-Cola, let's say, or something along those lines. So if there's a drink like that, he thinks that perhaps we could consider that to be on the same level as wine. So at nighttime, he would say not to do it. Nighttime is, like we pointed out, mitzvah d'oraisa. And at nighttime, use bread. Bread was better, but is better. But during the daytime, he says it could be that if other drinks are around that people are drinking, especially if they're drinking them more so than wine, like schnapps, let's say, right? Like we pointed out a few minutes ago, that if everybody goes to the table and takes the schnapps on Shabbos morning, that shows that people prefer the schnapps, and that's a drink that's more common to drink than the wine. Then he says that could be the reason. And then at the end, he says, this whole thing is a limud schut. I'm just trying to give you some type of reason that people do it, i.e., I'm not sure that's what you should be doing, but if everybody's doing it, I'm going to try to help you explain it.
So yeah. According to that one, it would just be like a Chamer Medina Plus.
Always
use all the time.
Yeah.
So that's why
there's an interesting subtext to most of the sources here, whether wine is, what was the way that you phrase it?
Chamer Medina Plus.
Chamer Medina, right. Whether wine is Chamer, whether you can have other Chamer Medinas if wine's available. Right? Does Chamer Medina mean that wine is automatically not available, and then we're going to talk about what Chamer Medina is? Or is there, wine is available, like you said, but you could have other things that are included as well into that category? So yeah, I think that's, yeah. So this would probably be, or possibly be a rationale for people using it, but then he still says it's a limud schut. It's not rock solid proof that we should be doing it. But if people are going to do it, he says, okay, maybe this is a reason. So this is, I think, as far as we're going to get for the rationale. So the conclusion really is, if you have wine, use it. I saw somebody quote that if your family practice is to specifically use some a non-wine in the morning, then follow it. But this person pointed out that if that's not your family practice, maybe in fact you really shouldn't be using whiskey because of it, unless wine's not there, because of everything we're saying. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the volume in your cup, right? Because most people take less than a revit, less than 3.3 ounces. Most people take 1 ounce. So by way of background, this is going to be a brachos topic that we're not going to spend too much time looking into. But in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Yud, he says that ha'ocha pachos mikizayis, if you eat less than a kizayit, bein mipat bein mishar ochlein vashote pachos mirevis bein biayin bein mishar mashkim mevarach tchila bracha ruya lo tomin. Okay, if you drink, we'll focus on drinking. If you drink less than 3.3 ounces, you have to make a bracha rishona. You have to say shahakol. The rule almost always is you make a bracha when you're eating something. If you're tasting it, that could be an exception. But the rule is, even if you wanted to take one morsel of food, you would make your first bracha beforehand. But what would you not do? But to make a bracha achrona, an alamichya or a bari nefasho, you would need to eat the proper volume. So for a beverage, that's 3.3 ounces. Okay? So if I wanted right now to take a sip of a half an ounce of milk, I would say shehakol nia bivaro, but I would not say bari nefasho afterwards because I didn't drink enough of it to qualify for my bracha achrona. Okay? So it's a good thing to be aware. Okay, we're coming to whiskey. So v'yesh mistapkim lomar she'al davar shu kibriyaso kigon garger shel einav or shel rimon shemavarchin la'achara l'afal b'jenabu kuzayis. So he says that there is an opinion that if the thing that you eat is a whole intact thing, i.e. a pomegranate seed, that's one of his examples. If you eat your pomegranate seed, that's not the same thing as taking a bite out of an apple, because a bite out of an apple was you took one bite and now you still have your whole apple. But the pomegranate, the whole thing is intact and you ate it. He says it could be that you should make a bracha achrona after eating that, because that's the way that it was created. That's how it comes. Okay, grapes, another thing, right? Let's assume, I don't know the exact amount of how many grapes would be kizayit. Let's assume it would be 4 grapes would be kizayit. If you eat one grape, you didn't eat the kizayit, but, right, yeah, but
one hand.
It was an intact, full item that you ate. So now we have a doubt about whether you should make a bracha achron on that or not. So the Mishnah Berurah really quotes here that you should really not put yourself into this situation. This is a very complicated situation, and the best thing is to eat the however many grapes it would be, or however many pomegranates, or somehow combine everything to not put yourself into the situation, because there's a really serious doubt about whether you can make a bracha harana or not. And that's what he says.
Having said that, if you're making a bracha harana, let's say on Mazona,
yeah,
but you only had a smaller amount of wine, you're merely adding a little bit onto that same bracha. Right?
So I think that the post can talk about how liquids and solids don't combine for this. You'd have to have a revit of liquids in general. Meaning, I could take a half an ounce of milk and a half an ounce of seltzer and a half an ounce of coffee and as long as it all adds up together, and I drank it within the proper frame of a few minutes, then I would make a bracha achron on it. But if I had a half an ounce of milk and one bite of an apple, that would not combine to make a bracha achrona. Yeah. Okay, so now, based on this fact that Shulchan Aruch told us, that if something is intact, it could be to make a bracha achrona, the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch here says that nowadays, where people drink whiskey, the normal thing to do is to drink a little bit of whiskey. That's become the de facto practice. It could be, says the Taz, that when you drink that 1 ounce, you must make a bracha achrona. That's the functional equivalent to eating a pomegranate seed, says the Taz. He makes some assumptions. He tries to prove it also with a few different sources. But that's what the Taz tells us, that for the bracha achrona, for something. He says, and he says, we call this visavata because every you drink one shot and you're like, and you feel satiated, you feel satisfied. That's a good amount to drink. He says, because of that, he thinks that you should make a bracha achrona, a brei nefashot, on 1 ounce of whiskey. Okay, that is what the Taz says. He's not doesn't talk about Kiddush at all, but he says for bracha achrona, if you have 1 ounce, say brei nefashot. So the Hartzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in a tshuva, comes along and makes the next jump of equating the two, equating Kiddush with bracha achrona. He says, if this is a significant volume to qualify to say a bracha achrona, the blessing after you drink it, says then it makes a lot of sense to say that it also is a significant volume to make Kiddush on. That's what the and he quotes the Chasam Sofer. He quotes the Chasam Sofer. This is if anybody has a practice of saying Kiddush on this amount, this is what they're basing it on. They're basing it on this Taz, which the Magen Avraham rejects. Which we saw from the I think there was a Mishnah Berurah who says you don't want to put yourself into this situation where you have to do this, right? Where he says eat as many pomegranate seeds as you can. So he presumably Mishnah Berurah would also say,
well, that's because you're getting this. Suffolk brachos of like what they have to say about when they
so this is it's a little bit different, right? It's a little bit right. Okay. So this is also suffolk brachos, though.
Right? But one is like maybe you can't, maybe you have to. You know what I mean?
For which one? The whiskey?
For the bracha chorna, it's maybe you can't say bracha chorna, maybe you have to say bracha chorna.
Okay.
So you really don't want to enter that one. But this is the whole bracha is shakal. So you're not adding extra bracha to it. And it's just putting yota kiddush with it, so it's a lot less of a problem.
But why would you not equate this with? Why would you not equate saying kiddush with making a bracha achrona?
No, just because Mishnah Berurah has a big problem with
doing it with brachos.
Right, he might. Uh-huh. I think that.
I don't think that the issue here is exactly suffik brachos lahakel, because I'm not sure that he would. I don't know there's a question of whether you ate enough, and there's a question of whether you should make the bracha achrona. So this isn't a question of whether you ate enough to qualify for your vias, which we might tell you sevik brachos lahakel. This is the question of whether, on the given that you drink 1 ounce, whether you should make a bracha or not. So I think it's a slightly different topic. So we can look into that after. So basically, this is the practice. This is the practice of people. Is if anybody says kiddush on whiskey, you have to when wine is there, you probably have to assume, like Shevet Alevi, that wine has lost some of its stature and other things gained that stature, and that if you wanted to use less than the 3 ounces, you would have to assume that we would follow the subjective amount that people are drinking, and that for most people is going to be presumably 1 ounce. So again, just noteworthy is that Mishnah Berurah says he does not on board with this. Oh, sorry, and not only over here, over there by Kiddush too, where he says that if you're making Kiddush with Yayin Sarif, with whiskey, etc., make sure you have 3.3 right. ounces and drink Mali Lugmav, drink cheekful. So now we're gonna get close to wrapping it up here. We're not gonna do the be at Rav Avadya Yosef inside, but Rav Avadya Yosef has excerpts from a much longer tshuva, and he basically says to the fact that he says I'm aware that people are drinking. Or drinking schnapps in Shabbos morning, based on, and you know, we saw some of those, some of the prominent rabbis from Poland from the 1500s, some of the Hasidic rabbis from the 1800s. He says, I'm aware of this, and I'm aware of the fact that people use less than the 3.3 ounces that they're using 1 ounce. And he says, and I think they're wrong. That's what he says. V'nidcha karula, that's his language. And we reject it. He says, we can consider this to be rejected. He says, what do we have? He says, and he says this a few times, which I think was his derech in general. He says, we have the Rishonim, and we have the Achronim, and we have the Shulchan Aruch, and everybody says, do not use whiskey if something else is available. And that's what we have, and that's what we go by. And he would not be on board at all. So if anybody, next time anybody's in a Sephardi shul or something along those lines, take a look at what's going on for Kiddush. I'd be very curious to see what the people there are doing in light of the fact that Rav Avadya Yosef seems to be very strong, have a strong opinion against using whiskey when wine is available.
So, even Ashkenazim, it's very shaky. So.
I agree, it's shaky because of the Rama agrees with the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch on that point. Yeah. It seems to be shaky, but defendable, which is right. Would probably lead us to the conclusion: don't really do it unless wine was not available.
Yeah.
Okay, that would
be the obvious answer. You can have both. If you kiddish first,
Yeah.
Usually they do. They have liquor in the middle of the meal.
Okay, so what we're going to do is now we're going to just talk about a little bit about what other beverages might qualify, might not qualify, and then we'll go through a quick recap from the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, "B'minei mashgeh shel soda v'chadome, im yesh lehavdil alayin kedin chamer medina." So the question was, can you make havdalah on what he called soda? So as I'm doing this tshuva, I keep thinking soda is Coca-Cola. It occurred to me afterwards that I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's talking about seltzer. I think he's talking about seltzer, which would be called soda in various parts of the world,
including
the bottle right here that says soda water.
What leads you to?
So we'll see from here, and then the Shmir Shabbos Kirchhoza quotes something very similar, and something in the footnote he says that this is the equivalent of water, and I was thinking how could Coke is not the equivalent of water, and then I realized but you know what, the equivalent of seltzer functionally is the equivalent of water, but I think I'm not 100% sure that's what he means here.
Just
we were talking about
way
this.
He would get the reference
soda, right? Because I think in the United States. And is
where,
everywhere in the New York?
Lived, I mean,
okay.
He lived.
So we were talking. So in Russia, and I can confirm this from Gilead's grandfather. In Russia, Soda was seltzer. That's what we talked.
In Israel,
about.
Soda.
In but we don't talk.
I know
about, but for Moshe,
he lived there. He lived
in
Lower East Side. In Lower East Side,
soda is seltzer.
Right. Where he lived, but he came there when he was already 40. So. Yeah. So, the person who asks him the question, it could be that the person who asked the question had one definition, and the questioner said soda too. I don't really know if he held up a bottle and showed it to him, or he just asked him. I don't know. It's, I guess we should.
When was this tshuva written to you?
No, I don't know when the tshuva was written. Maybe we should ask for.
It says the end. I mean, not in this one, but in the Igor Moshe itself, it says the end.
Okay.
Is it here?
Yeah, let's look after him.
No, because maybe I was going to say maybe like different flavored soda and Coca Cola wasn't. Like, so available if it was, like, I don't know.
We should ask.
I could tell you it was.
No,
I could tell you it was.
So Eric's not here, but maybe we'll have to give him an assignment to ask Rav Tendler next time he goes back to ask Rav Tendler.
We'll do that after value for the state.
I can find that also.
Okay, so if you can find out what he means by this, that would be great. So he says, can you use soda? So then he says, Bimdavar hamashkal shalmine soda, im yesh lem din chomer medina, do they have the status of drink of the state, l'kadosh b'shachar u'lahavdil aleihen hanochon l'nias daiti dehin k'mayim ba'ama. So this way, he says it's like water. I think that kind of hints to me that he's talking about seltzer. The av sheshos inosam, Ramosha's going to tell us how he defines. How do you define what the drink of the state is? Gam besudos hachashuvos, the av sheshos inosam, gam besudos hachashuvos mechavdin b'hem. Even if you're going to drink it at an important meal, so now he's kind of hinting at how he's going to define the drink of the people. Amal hu rak kishtias mayim letzi ma'on, something that you drink because you're thirsty, ul hiskare b'yamim achamim v'shah chamlem, something that you drink because you're thirsty or because it's hot outside, you want to have a cold drink? He says that is not considered. Even if every single person, if every single person in the world drinks that, that is not how we are going to define a drink of the people. It's not something that you drink because you're thirsty. What is it? Next line. What can we call Chomer Medina, the drink of the people you can say Kiddush on? It's something you drink when you don't necessarily want to drink something for your thirst. If somebody gives you a drink, would you say, no thanks, I'm not thirsty right now? Or would you say, thank you and take it? If somebody offers you a drink of scotch, nobody drinks scotch because they're thirsty. You say, thank you. He's going to include into this category tea. Like maybe depends, I don't know, depends where you're from, but I'm many parts of the world. Tea is a similar thing. Tea is a drink that you could drink it because you're thirsty, but you also drink it because when you're at your friend's house and they say, would you like a cup of tea? Or here's a cup of tea. You're not going to respond, no thanks, I'm not thirsty. You're going to take it and sip it because because it's a, you're giving honor to your friend and you're honoring the meal by doing such a thing. So that is how Rav Moshe defines what a drink of this of the your state is, or a drink of your country is. It's a drink where you're going to drink it, or enough people are going to drink it because, not because they're thirsty, but because they're giving kavod, they're honoring their friend. They don't want to turn it down. That's how he defines it. The ein shum adam shows a yayin v'yayin shechar v'shechar litzimao. Nobody's going to drink wine or whiskey or beer or anything else like that for their thirst. The alzeh shows in mayim shoyut ardifi. Right, for that you would drink water if you were really thirsty. Elisha rak lechavod ba'alma shows in osan ve'elu haminim nikarim b'shem mashkev chomer medina. And this is what we would call chomer medina, drink of the state, the drink of the people. Something that you drink for kavod. There were some other definitions that we glossed over. We didn't go through them as well. Where the thing that Aruch HaShulchan points out that it's a drink, quoting the Magen Avraham, it's a drink that most people drink most of the time. Unclear. I'm pretty sure that scotch would not fit into that category. It could be that juices would. It could be that like Coca-Cola would. It could be that tea would. The post can talk about coffee. We're going to come to that in a minute. Coffee could maybe qualify because a lot of times if you go to somebody's house and they're offering you a cup of coffee, you don't say no. You say thank you. Or you say no. Do you ever drink coffee? Or,
yeah.
So if you never drink coffee, fine. That's a little different, but most people, I drink coffee all day long, and even if I already had enough for the day, if somebody offered me a cup of coffee, I don't think I would say no thanks. I would say thank you and take it and drink it. So Rav Moshe has this tshuva here where he says that soda, which I think means seltzer, you cannot use, even because that's something that you're going to drink because you're thirsty. And if somebody offers you a cup of seltzer, you would feel very comfortable saying, no thanks, I'm not thirsty right now. But other things that you would not necessarily do that for, like whiskey, it counts. Though again, we need to point out that we're still working with the Shulchan Aruch that says that use wine. And if wine's not available, then you can try to figure out what else to use. So I was curious about Coca-Cola. Specifically about Coca-Cola. So I did a little bit of research, and last night I came across a sefer from Rav Rabinovich, Melumde Milchama, which is questions from people in the army. They asked him, and they asked him about making Havdalah on Coca-Cola, and he said he thinks that counts as Chomer Medina, because I don't remember the exact definition that he was using, but I think no matter which definition you use, it counts. Either you say that it's a drink that is drunk by most people most of the time. Most people are drinking. People drink a lot of soda. I think that's why it's like a trillion-dollar, whatever, a multi-billion-dollar industry. Everybody's drinking soda all the time, and because it's a. And I think it could probably qualify. I'm not sure. We'd have to a little bit up in the air if it qualifies as a drink that you would turn away. You would turn away because you're not thirsty or not.
Maybe.
You think? I think it's up in the air, but he says, but Rav Rabinovich says that it counts as Chomer Medina. So now we're just going to do what I think is a good run through of the halachas here, of everything that we did just in a seder. We're going to go through it. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchos says mitzvah min hamuvchar lahader achare yayin gam lekiddush hashachar. Really, the best thing is to use wine in the morning. Mikol malkum im ein matzoy liknos yayin ba'ir. If there's no wine in your city, osha yayin hubiyoker. If it's very expensive, osha sovel lishto yayin. He has another category. You're a person, you don't like wine. You don't ever drink wine. You would never drink wine. Hare mikevan shekiddush hashachar is humi derabanan. Once kiddush is derabanan, yachol lekadesh al kol mashke shavigil lishal bosa makom ki mashke chashuv. He doesn't define what an important drink is, but he says if it's an important drink in your place, you could use it. V'unigra chaver medina kigon bira or meat, including juice, can make kiddush on juice according to him. Though he points out that it would have to be juice that was real juice and not water with a little bit of flavoring in it, so it could be that even flavored seltzer would not count. It'd have to be real juice. Aval lo yikadesh alamayim v'lo al meisoda, not water, not here. This is clear that this is seltzer, not milk. Milk is an interesting middle category about what if milk counts or not. And then he says, now mi shechaviv alav lishto yayin sorif. If you really like to drink whiskey, v'hu mashkir shiragilin lishto boso mokum kemash shechashuv. Again, he's defining it. He says if that's an important drink, which I guess it would be. It's at a l'chaim, at an important event, you would drink. This is what you would drink. So then you could do it. He quoting the language from the Shulchan Aruch, from Mishnah Berurah Lechatchila. Again, I'm not 100% sure what that means, but you could use that Lechatchila, so he says. And then, if you don't have this, he basically is setting up a kind of hierarchy, right? First use wine, then you can use Yain Sarif whiskey. He says even maybe at the same level as wine, maybe. I'm not sure what he means by Lechatchila. But if you don't have this, Yesh lahakil l'kadosh Shabbos boker gam al kos chalav. So he says you could be makil to use milk, al kos kafe turkey, or kafe na. You could use Turkish coffee, you could use regular ground coffee, even specifies. Afil al kos tematuk, sweetened tea. I guess maybe he would consider unsweetened tea to be more like, more akin to water, but once you sweeten it, it might have a more, might be more substantial. So he says you could use coffee, you could use tea. And then uvishas hadchak, and if you have nothing else, then use bread. That's our hierarchy. So in the nighttime hierarchy is wine, bread, other beverages. The daytime hierarchy is wine, other beverages, then bread. And then he even quotes, if you don't even have, if you're in a place and you don't even have any bread, you can say your kiddush, make a mizonos. On something, a real mizonos, not like we still have to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. Not like a pasta mizonos, something that's more similar to bread, like a cake or a cookie. You can even say mizonos and have in mind that that's counting for kiddush if you don't even have any bread with you. And then he says at the a little bit afterwards that you really should be very, very careful to take that 3.3 ounces if you're going to be using scotch. The yak bilishos mimena lefacho shir kamali lungmav, and drink at least half of it, 1.65 ounces. And over the eved, your drinking could be included with everybody else. And in the footnote here, he says if it's impossible otherwise, i.e., the only thing you have is 1 ounce of scotch left in the only bottle in the city that you have, or whatever the case may be,
if the cops were that size.
Ah, interesting. Right. He actually says earlier, if you're talking about kiddush, that you should use the bottle. He says drink out of the bottle if you don't have this came up. This was slightly relevant in our plastic cup discussion. If you're not gonna go buy a plastic cup, or you don't have another cup, or your cup is chipped, right? That's specifically what he said. If your cup is chipped, then you can use the wine, but then your wine we would call that afterwards the yayin pugum, right? Polish wine, which is another topic that we had spoken about. But I think he says b'di'i efshar lo klal l'kadosh al revi'is v'lishus k'malei lugmav. Then he says you can rely on a more lenient opinion. So I think the maskana is, and I'll ask your rabbi or ask somebody who's a posek, but it seems that from going through these sources that the conclusion is really use wine unless you have some type of practice not to, and if you're except for the lechachila that's thrown in, right? But the factors on the Mishnah Berurah don't apply. The factors of the yain is the yoker, which is what lead really is, right? How he justifies the whole thing initially. It's hard to see that doesn't apply today. Like we said, the whiskey is more expensive than the wine. So it seems that if your family practice or that's what people are doing is to use it, then really, really try to use 3.3 ounces. And certainly, for all the things we talked about, for coffee and for all the and the juice and everything else, and possibly Coca-Cola, etc., again, the same thing would apply. You must use 3.3 ounces, because the whole point of using less than that was the Taz that says that the amount that a person drinks of scotch is 1 ounce, and that's what would satiate a person. Nobody drinks 1 ounce of tea, and nobody drinks 1 ounce of Coke. Everybody drinks a lot more than that, so I guess we could call it the dispensation to using less than 3.3 ounces only applies to whiskey. And then I guess final point here, I know there's a shir coming up in a few minutes, final point here is that regarding all these other drinks, they fit into the same analysis. The wine comes from grapes, so those are not real wine. So this would fit into this analysis here, meaning if you have wine, use it. If you don't have wine, you need to figure out whether we can consider that to be Chomer Medina.
The thing is, these different wines, like Ramon has a pomegranate, they're kosher to Pesach. So if they're kosher to Pesach, the thing is, a lot of people will probably look at it, especially those that are modern, may think that you can use it as a kiddush for the.
So I think that
I don't know
that would be a big miss. Yeah, I
you,
right. So maybe we'll talk about the status of wine, especially. I believe you. I don't just because it's kosher to Pesach. I don't think that necessarily means that people will use it for their arbor kosher,
right.
And people in fact should not use it because that's not. The question about whether you can use Chomer Medina for your arbor kosher is also a question, and I think the postgame I think you could, but clearly wine is what you should be using. And if the wine is around, right, again, if the wine's around, we don't really come to the discussion of what could be considered to be Chomer Medina for other beverages for Kiddush. If wine's around, use the wine. So I think that's the answer. Just because it's kosher Pesach doesn't mean that you should be using it for your arbor kosher, because you, in fact, should not be unless you had nothing else available. So that's our discussion here. So it's interesting question. That's using this, it seems to be, again, like you probably should not. You probably should not be using whiskey. But if you are, you should be using 3.3 ounces. And if you're not, there is what to rely on. There's a Hart Zvi. There's the Chasam Sofer is reported to have defended that. But like Rav Ovadia says, is that most people reject this, and that's not really something you should be relying on unless you have. Rav Ovadia doesn't say this, but unless you really have the practice to do so.